I wanted to say a few things about the event that took place in El Paso. And at the end of that ceremony, one of the youngest descendants of the Porvenir massacre, Seth, you know, he's 19, he's a UT El Paso student. And he described what it meant for him to grow up and to learn this history. And if we had had a marker unveiling, his experience with his history would be different. Because he'd say, this was a tragedy, and finally all of the work of my generations of family have paid off because we finally are publicly acknowledging this tragedy. And instead, he had to end his speech saying that he was committed to be the next generation to try to make this history public and to try to seek public acknowledgement. And so I think that's a real testament of a missed opportunity, but also the resilience of these descendants. And when I've had to make phone calls to people who were ready to attend the unveiling and to tell them that it was going to be delayed, one of the things that was the most telling to me is that most of them were not surprised. They had been hoping that it would be unveiled, but they always sort of knew that anything could derail it. And so that, I think, speaks to how much work Texas cultural institutions, how much work schools in Texas have to do to regain the trust of racial and ethnic minorities in Texas who for generations have seen themselves as the antagonists in Texas history. So if we're thinking about how we move forward, we have to have truthful accountings of the past. And when we erase these histories of racial violence, we not only erase the tragedies, we not only erase how power allowed these tragedies to occur, but we also forget heroes, people who fought for social justice, people like Jovita Aidad, who was a journalist and a teacher, who wrote about anti-Mexican violence, who wrote letters to the U.S. government pleading for them to stop the violence. Right? We have Texas heroes. We have people who fought for civil rights. And the injustices of this period did not just affect Mexicans, did not just affect Mexican-Americans or Latinos. It crossed racial lines. And so some of the statements that we have that give us access to these histories were written by Anglo lawyers, were written by Anglo teachers, written by U.S. soldiers saying, this violence has to stop. Innocent people are being murdered, and it's wrong. And so in this climate of an ongoing border crisis, we're living in the midst of another humanitarian crisis on the border. Immigration lawyers, teachers, doctors, and sheriffs, Border Patrol agents are standing up and saying, we have got to stop this violence. And they have people to look to historically to say, in the face of intimidation, in the face of threats of violence, people stood up and said, this is wrong. And that's a part of our Texas history that new generations need to know, to inspire them to be advocates for social justice and for change. And in terms of what we can learn from this period to correct what we're seeing happen today, racial profiling leads to violence. Racial profiling and the criminalization of people based on their racial backgrounds, their nationalities, what they look like, leads to violence, and it leads to people being denied due process. And we're seeing that today.